We have been going through the qualifications of an elder, and I believe that next Sunday is going to be the last of this particular series. But today we're in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, and the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's talking about these qualifications. And I've been getting really powerful and wonderful feedback on these messages, and how that it has helped people, and how that people have really seen themselves in a fresh light. And a powerful way of looking and saying, God, am I really the person you want me to be so that I can let my light so shine before men that they see my good works, that they glorify you, my Father in heaven? And so what we're getting here is a lot of instruction from the Apostle Paul. And yes, he's writing directly to Timothy here in these first several verses, the first seven verses, actually, of 1 Timothy chapter 3. But today we're going to look at verse 6. And he says here, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he falleth into condemnation of the devil. And so I want to just take a few moments and just sort of break down the three key words in that verse before we jump into our teaching today. And that would be, the first is novice. And the Greek, if for those of you who are taking notes and you want to do some study on this, it's in the Strong's Concordance, it's 3504. And it simply means newly planted, or a new convert, or a lack of experience. And so that's novice. And then we take the word pride, and it's Greek 5187, which means to be puffed up or high-minded. Puffed up or high-minded. Now, every time the word pride is used in the Bible, it doesn't mean exactly that. It has different applications. But in this scripture, puffed up or high-minded. And then finally, condemnation, which is in the Strong's Concordance, 2917 in the Greek, 2917. And that's judgment, damnation, to be condemned. It doesn't get any stronger than that, does it? And so this is a powerful verse. It has very powerful instruction for us. And the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, and what he's saying here is, you've got to be aware, Timothy, that as you ordain elders, as you ordain, in this case, this specific part, the first seven verses, bishops, that this qualification is essential. And here's the risk. Here's the risk of being a novice. The risk of being a novice is that you are going to have more pride, or inappropriate pride. And some of you already, I know that I'm talking to several well-studied students of the Bible. There is a proper place and a proper application for pride in context. But the pride we're talking about today, you remember the definition of it, puffed up, high-minded. There's no proper place for us to be puffed up or high-minded. Could the church say amen? Amen. There's no proper place for us to be puffed up or high-minded. Now, if we teach another study on pride itself, you'll see that it has different applications. And there's a right time to have the proper kind of pride. How many of you in the military, or you are now, or you have been in the military? Many of us in the sanctuary today. And did you have pride in your unit, your ship, your company, your division, whatever it was? Did you have pride in that? Let me hear you.
Yes.
Sure you did. And that's not a bad thing, is it? Not in proper context. But today we're talking about the pride that is puffed up or high-minded. And being a novice, it has its risks and it has its benefits, and so it has to be in balance. And I think that's what Paul is writing to Timothy about, is those who are inexperienced that you have responsibility for mentoring, make sure that you work with them, make sure that you help them. Don't put them in a position where they will fail. Put them in a position where they will succeed, where they will grow. And so as we look at this idea of being a novice, it's certainly not bad in and of itself. Every elder was once a novice. Methuselah was once a novice. So being a novice is not in and of itself a bad thing, but what Paul is teaching in this text is that being a novice contains this inherent risk of having pride that lifts us up to a place where we cannot stand. Because God will do great things through us when we step forward in faith. And if you're a novice and you don't know how to have proper balance, you will start to think that you can walk on water. Now, take what I said out of context and you'll think that I'm putting down someone without experience. I'm not. But perhaps you've heard the jokes about the walking on the water. You know, the elder's in the boat and the first one gets out and he walks to shore and he picks up something to eat and he walks back. And the second one gets out and he walks halfway and he says, "There's a fish over here, cast." And the first elder cast and caught the fish. And so they said to the junior guy that was with him, he says, "How about you? You want to try it?" He gets out of the boat and sinks, comes back up. They help him back in the boat. He says, "Why don't you try it again?" He gets out and he sinks again. And the first elder says to the second, "You think we should tell him where the rocks are?" You know, this idea of experience is an important thing, and that's what Paul's saying here, not a novice. And remember, I didn't say novice is bad. Paul didn't say novice is bad. He said there's an inherent risk in being a novice, and that risk is that you'll have too much pride, and pride will lie to you. And pride will lie to you and make you think you're better than you are. Hello? I'm glad my wife loves me. I love when she speaks words of affirmation to me. But if my wife was the only person who I ever listened to, I would think I too was perfect. Just like she is. I would think I can do anything but fail. I would think no matter what I set my mind to, it will happen just the way I want it to. But then I'm blessed to be surrounded by honest critics who remind me that I'm human. And so what we learn is that in life, we need to have a healthy balance. And I'm going to talk more about pride than anything else in this message, but before I leave novice, I want to do this. Think about those of us who are, let's say, 30 and older. Think about back to when you were a teenager and the things you thought you were ready to do that you found out you weren't as ready as you thought you were. I'm not going to ask you to share your story with us, but can anybody think of... Yeah. My father had a brand new car. It was less than a month old, and we took it on vacation. And I was 14 years old, and we camped up in Canada. And the place that we camped at, it was beyond the paved roads, and so there were gravel roads and then dirt roads and then the place where we rented a cabin. So it was a very rural setting, and my father foolishly said I could drive his car to the general store, and I did. And I drove there so safely, and I did so good that by the time I got to the store, I was convinced that I was a very good driver. So on the way back, I thought I would do it just like they do in the movies, where the rear end of the car slides out, you know, and you turn the wheels to the right when you're on a left-hand turn. I thought, this is going to be so cool. I mean, I made it all the way to the store without incident. And so I knew I could get back to the campsite, and I was going to have some fun doing it because now I'm an experienced driver. And when the car left the road and I felt it starting to roll over, I wondered what went wrong, because surely I couldn't have made a mistake with all that experience. The good news is the car didn't roll all the way over. It just went up on its side. And my brothers and I climbed out and tipped the car back down on its wheels. And the damage was relatively minor. And my father was relatively calm. And he said to me, when I said, "Hey, Dad, I had a little incident with the car." And he said, "How little?" And I said, "Well, it starts at the front bumper and it goes to the back bumper, but it's only on one side." And he came out and he looked at it and he said, "Well, if I don't wash it, maybe no one will notice." Okay? You see, I had a little pride. I was a novice and I thought I could do more than I could do. I thought I could do more than I could do. And again, it's not bad to be a novice. What's bad is not knowing what your limitations are. And so that's the role of that's the responsibility of the elders, is to help the novice know what they can and can't do and help them to succeed and not fail. Help them to succeed. And sometimes you got to help them have a success. See, because sometimes the novice that you're working with will have a poor self-image, and they won't be doing well. Hello? Can I tell you one more story from that very same trip? Or if it wasn't that trip, it was one maybe the next year. And then I'm going to move into teaching about pride. We went fishing in the boat, and everybody had caught a fish but me. In fact, most people were catching their second fish, and I had not caught my first yet. And I was disappointed. You know what? Now that I'm telling this story, I recall that it must have been much earlier, because I was probably about 8 years old. This is where we went on vacation each year. It was a very predictable thing we did at the first 2 weeks of July every year. We went up and rented the same cabin. And so I must have been much younger now that I'm remembering the story that I want to share with you. And so everybody was catching fish but me, and I was disappointed. And I was pouting because I was being left out of the excitement. And my dad said, "Peter, hold my rod. I've got to go get a Coca-Cola out of the cooler." And he handed me his rod up, and he got up and to walk away. And I said, "Dad, there's a fish on it." And he said, "That's your problem, Peter." Sometimes you got to help a novice have a success. Sometimes you got to help a novice have a victory. Sometimes you got to help them to know that they can do what they're not sure about. But I want to talk to you some about pride today. And you see, that's the risk of being a novice, is pride. And Paul makes it quite clear. I'm going to read the whole sixth verse again. "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil." It's a dangerous place to be. I'm going to read several scriptures. I'm going to do them pretty quickly. The first is in Psalms 10 and 2. These are warnings against pride. "The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined." And in Psalms 73 and 6, we read, "Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence cover them as a garment." And in Proverbs 11 and 2, we read, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." And in Proverbs 16 and 8, we read these words, "Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right." And in Proverbs 21 and 4, we read, "An high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin." And now we come to the New Testament. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, we read these words, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 12, we read these words, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." He didn't say "he that standeth," it said "him that thinketh he standeth." And so if you're standing, you're getting some help. You know, it's interesting. I'm 59 years old, and every once in a while my back will lock up on me. But it was about 20 years ago, I'd have to check to be sure, that I had back surgery. And I remember how bad I got before my back surgery. How that sometimes the only way I could get out of a car was to lie down on the front seat and come out face down until I could get to the... Some of you have had that kind of situation. And I'm not saying that to complain or anything, but, you know, now I get up out of a chair. In fact, it was in a service here in Norfolk probably just a couple years ago that I did something. And a couple people commented afterwards. They said, "I know exactly what you mean and how big of a deal it is." And I'm sure some of you, especially those of you who are real young, probably think this is just the silliest thing you ever saw. But I thought, you know, every time I get up out of a chair and I don't use my hands, or I should say almost every time, I say, "Thank you, Lord." Because there was a time when that wasn't possible. And I wasn't quite sure if it was ever going to be possible for me again, but God blessed me. And now, to be able to get out of a chair without using my hands is a big deal. And some of you know what I'm talking about, and some of you think, "Well, that's just, wonder what he's talking about." Live long enough, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And we're talking about pride. And the reality is it's one thing to not know something, and it's another thing to not know what you don't know. And that's the challenge with pride is that we live in a place where we're just not sure what we don't know. We think we can do things that really we're getting help with, and we just don't know how much help we're getting. Luke 18, there's a parable, and I want to read it. It starts in verse 9, and it goes through 14. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. Luke 18. How's everybody doing? Great. Is the church happy? Yes. I heard a joke. I told it to Priscilla before church. I want to tell it to you. See if you think this fits the message. Priscilla, does it fit the message? I don't know. We'll see. Two engineers standing at a flagpole, looking up at it, one sort of scratching his chin. Lady walks by and says, "What you doing?" They said, "Well, we're trying to figure out how tall the flagpole is, and we don't have any way to measure it." And she walks over to her car and gets out a wrench, and she unbolts the flagpole, lays it down on the ground, takes out her tape measure and measures it. She says it's 12 feet, 6.5 inches. She tips it back up, bolts it in the ground, walks away. One engineer says to the other, "Isn't that just like a woman? We need the height, and she gives us the width." The engineers knew what they knew, but they didn't know what they didn't know. And that's the way pride is, and it gets us. Look, if you would, at verse 9 now, or in Luke 18. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one the Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I'm not as others men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all that I possess, of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.'" And the risk of pride is very real. And in the context of our teaching today, it's the pride of a novice. But it can happen, and it can happen in different stages of our life. And here's some examples of pride. In Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, we read these words about the pride of Pharaoh. He says, "And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.'" And we read about Naaman in 2 Kings, in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 11. "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper.'" And so pride can come in different ways, in different times of our life. And it's something that regardless of whether you're a novice or an elder, you need to protect against. And we need to walk humbly and upright before the Lord without pride. And that's what the Scripture tells us to do. And look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Be not wise in thine own eyes. It's good to know what you know, and it's great to know something, and it's great to be the specialist. It's great to have the answer. It's encouraging to be able to help somebody on their journey. But don't ever forget that we can't do anything without God. And I know that isn't popular preaching today, but the reality is that without God, our next breath is not possible. Have you ever been in the hospital and seen someone fighting for the breath in their lungs? You know how many things we take for granted and we don't even realize how good God is to us every day of our life? Many of you have traveled to developing nations, and you realize when you come back that you can just turn on the tap and drink the water and it's safe. And you think, gee, I just take that for granted that I can get a drink of water anytime I want, anywhere I go. I remember we were building a missionary church in Tijuana, Mexico, and I was down there for a couple of weeks, and after about the first 7 or 8 days, you know, I was drinking bottled water, and they were all drinking the water that was there locally. And I thought, you know, these guys, they can do it. I can do it. And so I drank the water that they were drinking. And that was the last useful day I had on that project. Yeah, my last name is Payne. And in Spanish, it's Dolor. And so I would lay there going, oh! And they go, Pastor Dolor. I was no good for the rest of the trip. Yeah, you know what? Don't take things for granted. God blesses you. Stay humble before the Lord. And if God's doing great things through you, then be thankful. But stay humble. And if you see a fault in someone else, be careful. Because you know what? It might be real. You might have an honest observation about a fault in someone else. But my mother used to tell me when I was a young boy that the only faults I see in others, you know, it's interesting that some things stick with you. And my mother used to say, the only faults you'll see in others, Peter, are the faults you have in your own life. And I thought, isn't that interesting? All these years later, I still remember that. And when I see someone with a fault, and I start to be critical, I remember my mother's words, and I think, that fault exists in my life. It keeps us humble, doesn't it? When we remember that, but for the grace of God, there go I. Look at Isaiah, if you would, chapter 26 and verse 4. We're going to look at another heed to walk upright before the Lord. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And in Jeremiah 17 and 7, we read these words, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. And it's worthy to note that there's a proper place for healthy pride. I touched on that before, but I want to come back to that point and make some comments on it. But the pride that Paul speaks of here, being puffed up, being high-minded, it's risky. It's risky. It's dangerous. It's thin ice. Those of you who grew up in cold country, you know what thin ice means. You know, how many of you grew up in parts of the country where you could go out on the lake when it's frozen? And you, several of us did. And you know what? But thin ice is dangerous. And maybe you know, like I do, someone at a young age who lost their life because they fell through the ice. And thin ice looks just as strong as thick ice, but it won't hold you up. It can't sustain you. And that's what happens with pride. We fall into condemnation. And when Paul said these words to Timothy, he talks about it being condemnation of the devil. And when pride takes hold, it doesn't just hurt the novice. It hurts the case and the cause for Christ. Let's look, as Apostle Paul speaks, words that a novice could not speak. And I'm going to spend the remainder of my time in one portion of Scripture. You see, when Paul spoke these words that we're going to look at now, he had been in ministry for many years. He had great victories. He had wonderful accomplishments. If it was the day of plaques in your office, he'd have had a wall covered with them. He'd have had a whole trophy room full of trophies, letters of thanks and appreciation. Years ago, I started to do something because you never know when you're going to encourage somebody and it'll stick with them. And I started to keep the cards that I get, whether it's a Father's Day card or a birthday card or just a thinking of you card or a get well card. Can I tell you the funniest card I ever got? I'm going to come back to the text in just a second. The funniest card I ever got was I missed a Sunday morning when I was senior pastor in Waukegan because I was sick, and the children in Children's Church wrote me cards, and one of them said, Dear Pastor Payne, sorry to hear you died. Hope you'll be back next week. Yeah. Paul wrote these words, and he couldn't have written them when he was a novice. He perhaps wouldn't even have completely understood them when he was a novice. But as he got older, he realized that anything great that had happened in his life, God brought it. God did it. And I wrote in my notes 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and you have the whole, I was going to read the whole chapter, but I think what I'm going to do instead is just pick a portion out of the center of it, and I'll have to turn to it to see what verse I'm going to start in. No, I'm not. I'm going to start at verse 1. It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. Scott, can you come to the piano? I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. This is a man that's writing now, and he's speaking to us, and he has years of experience and many great accomplishments. And yet he's learned that pride has no place in his life. He's learned that if he's going to continue to be of value to God, it's going to be because God is seen in him and not him in God. And so I'm talking to the novice today, and I'm telling you, find a way to keep pride out of your life, because what the Apostle Paul teaches us here is that it will lead to a fall into condemnation of the devil. And condemnation is a terrible thing. It can take you out of the race. It can snuff out a light that once burned bright. Reminded that we read in Scripture, ye did run well. I don't want to be one that did run well. I might be old and set in my ways. I might not see everything through youthful eyes anymore. But I want to finish well. How about you? And I want to help the novice to get the experience they need. And I pray for wisdom on how to do that. And some of you are here and you've fought the good fight. You've stayed the course. But you're not helping the novice today. And so I speak to you from a heart of sincerity and say, pray for wisdom how you can help the younger to rise up and live out the true meaning of their calling. And some of you are novices today and you think you can drive the car, but you still need to go through the learner's permit process. It's not a put down. It's a caution. You know, they have those learner permits for a reason. So we have someone with us to tell us when we're doing things wrong and when we're doing them right. So I speak to you, novice, and say, keep fighting. Keep learning. Keep growing. I speak to you, elder, and I say, keep teaching. Don't stop. This is when the church should shout amen. Amen. We need each other. We're in this thing together. And you know what the devil would like to happen is for us to pitch ourselves against each other. This generation against that generation. Oh, get over it. It doesn't talk about two bodies. When Paul the Apostle talked about the body of Christ, it was one body. And we need each other. When one part suffers, they all suffer. When one part rejoices, they all rejoice. We need each other. I need the newest novice, and you need the oldest elder. Amen? And I recognize there's things I can't do as well as I used to. I'm okay with that. I can't. Debbie tells me I need hearing aids, and I'm more and more convinced that she's right every day. I really am. I get that. I was talking with someone yesterday, and he said, wait till you get to be 60 years old and you'll know what I'm talking about. And I thought, gee, that's less than 6 months away. Hope it's not bad, whatever it is. I remember when 60 was old. By the way, I just learned the definition of middle age is 10 years older than I am. So Paul writes these words, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to jump down now to verse 7. I'm going to close here. Singers, would you come? Get ready. You can come and take this pulpit away. I'll remind you now, turn these in when you leave, because I'll forget, because they're taking that away from me right now. Here we go, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're starting at verse 7 now. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul starts and ends that verse with that same thing. Come on up, singers, I won't be long. Paul starts and ends that verse the same way. He said, you know what? I'm at risk of being exalted above measure. I'm at risk of having pride in my life. How much more the novice? Hello? How much more the novice? He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. How humbling to know that when your battle is there, and the Lord knows what it is, and he's heard from you, he says, no, no, no. I'm not going to fix it the way you want it fixed. There's a better fix for it, and that's my grace. It's sufficient. You're supposed to go through this one. And Paul already told us why, lest I be exalted above measure. You see, when Paul talked about this being a good fight of faith, it's because it's a fight. Hello? When he talked about running the race with patience, it's because it's a race. I'm fine on the good days. I love the good days. I love the sunny days. I love the calm days. But you know what? There's something special about a storm. Huh? Something interesting. We learn something in the battles. We learn something in the valleys. We don't learn on the mountaintop. You might remember that it was Muhammad Ali that said that greatness is revealed in the ring, but it's developed in the training. That was a paraphrase. I don't remember his exact words. You getting up before others get up? Staying up after others have gone to bed? Going the extra mile? Hello? Somebody's getting a message today. Somebody's hearing this message today. Somebody's saying, yes, here am I, Lord, send me. Hello? Somebody's saying, you're right. This word's for me. I'm going to give you a chance to stand and sing in just a minute. He said, I'm right in the middle of verse 9 now, and he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Go on and study that. Those of you who are taking notes, you're going to go study. Study that whole 12th chapter. I really believe it falls into three separate portions of teaching. But read that whole 12th chapter. And I just chose to highlight that section in the middle. But read it all, and you read the story of somebody who's been a novice and has become an elder. And of course, the words we just read are from the same person that's writing to Timothy about these qualifications. Let's stand together and sing it.